Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily, some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. And Tim Vickery is over in the UK, so we got him in the studio. And we discussed a film that Andy and I saw last night about Diego Maradona, a new documentary.
Yeah, you hear all about that. Our bits, which were much and varied today, weren't they?
Yeah.
Basically.
We had a couple of dropouts.
Yeah.
So,
there were three.
Bits. Yeah, I think we got through some ground with jousting and various things. Okay, here it all is.
Very bad news for Arsenal fans, actually.
Have you really? Yeah.
I've done some research, and it turns out that both Aubameyang and Lacazette are half Armenian.
Is that right?
Yeah, I know. They may not be able to go.
Yeah.
What can you do?
Yes, it's your wishful thinking, isn't
They're
it?
They're not, are they?
That'd be quite interesting, wouldn't it, to if Jim and Simon and the gang are going to go and watch the final in the Azerbaijan embassy. But yeah.
And the point of that is?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I imagine there'll be... What will the atmosphere be like?
Neutral.
I mean, you're going to be sitting there watching the game with people that have got... They're only interested, really, in how it's being put on. They'll be saying, oh, the stadium looks good tonight, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And they'll be singing, you know, 1-0 to the stage. They'll be doing all that. They won't care about the team.
They won't.
Have you ever watched... let's ask the listeners. Watching a game of football on TV, not in the flesh, but in unusual circumstances like that, I mean, it'd be a talking point. Jim would always be able to say, oh, yeah, I remember watching that Europa League final in the Azerbaijan embassy. So, let us know this afternoon. If you've watched a game of football in very, very unusual and unlikely circumstances anywhere around the world, let us know. See if you can match that along with... Imagine the embassy staff will be a bit flat, won't it? Really? Be a bit
flat. The whole thing will be, really. Like you say, they'll be very excited at the pre-match sort of, you know...
They'll put on a good
ceremonials.
Spread.
Yeah.
It'll be a good spread.
Yes, exactly. But once the game starts, they'll all be like... They'll be like John was during the Chelsea-Barcelona game last year. They'll be Googling bits about Azerbaijani teams and all
disinterested.
This. Disinterested. Yeah. They'll turn their back on the screen.
They will. You never quite forgave him for that. Carry on. No, that's right.
They've done a table. The Times did a table this morning of managerial
payoffs. Times table?
Yes. Yeah. After Antonio Conte got his £9 million, which I think is fair enough, really.
Now, yes, you do think, we'll come back to this, but you think he was due that money and you don't have a problem with him getting it.
Well, why should he be? Absolutely. Yeah. And I can't see what he did wrong, really. You know, all that stuff about Costa and everything, it was just... deception.
Smoke screen.
It was just, you know, he did a good job for Chelsea. He fell out with them. They fell out with him. He didn't want him there to pay him off. So that was $9 million to him. Roberto Di Matteo, $10.7 million. Andre Villas-Boas, $12 million. But the one I love the best, Luis Felipe Scolari, $12.6 million. He was only there for about 3 months.
Is that much he got?
Yeah.
Wowee.
That's unbelievable, isn't it? It's like winning the lottery. They should appoint Mikey Carroll. You can do with the money now.
Mikey Carroll.
Yeah,
the Chelsea
lotto lout.
Yeah. Well, not
in the words of the tabloids. Not in my words.
Poor bloke. I don't know the fella. He did stock car race around his garden and drive the neighbours mad. But poor bloke, really, there forever. I mean, you know, he may be in a seminary now. He may be in a Benedictine monastery.
I don't know what he does now.
Do you think they call him lotto lout? Like, he can't shake it off, can he?
Well,
poor fella.
Poor fella.
Yeah.
Still, he did win 9 million and... Was it 9 million?
Well, it was his money. Do what he liked with
it. Oh, yeah. So, now, we spoke to Gareth Batty at lunch yesterday during the Surrey-Kent game. And he was saying, oh, it's a bit tricky this afternoon. It's 110 for no wicket. You know, they're looking well set. Anyway, nearly got a hat trick.
Yeah.
He got 3 for 49 in, but yeah.
So that's good luck. We should get him on most days, shouldn't we?
He has to come on every day if he's a superstitious sportsman.
We've got nothing. Hello, men. We've got nothing to say today, Gareth. We've really just got you on so you can get some wickets. Yeah.
And well done to President Trump's supporter, Blake Marnell, who wore the brick. Have you seen the wall suit? He wore a suit, basically.
A suit which is a wall. Mm.
That's basically fantastic. It was basically a brick wall suit and make America great hat combo.
Yeah,
and even Lewis Hamilton would have balked at that outfit.
The brick suit is impressive. I mean, the thing is, you're going to get use out of that if you're in A Midsummer Night's Dream. You think that would be perfect, wouldn't it? I mean, you could play the part and you could put the suit on. That's probably where he got it from.
Yeah, it'd be great.
Yeah,
well done to him.
There we are. A little bit of culture for you.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Danny Jacobs here on TalkSport. I don't like hearing Meadow say that's worrying me. He's saying the same thing.
He doesn't know anything about anything. What does he know?
Meadow knows everything. You must know. Have you not seen that all over posters, all over
Egypt?
All over Egypt, Meadow. I mean, he's big in Egypt. Well, he's big everywhere, let's be honest. But he's not as big as he was. But
Poch is clever. It suits him to let these things percolate.
Do you think he sent Meadow out to kind of say stuff?
No, but you know he's quite happy for him to speculate. He's quite happy for people to speculate.
Do you think he sits there with his assistant saying, "What we really need now, boys, is a Meadow whispering campaign on TalkSport"?
No, what he does think is, I want Daniel Levy to support me, and if he doesn't, I will go. And one way of putting pressure on him is to make him think I am going.
Okay. Do you, Meadow, huge, of course, in Egypt, and to the point where his wedding was televised live. Egyptian telly.
Yeah, yeah.
Would you have watched it?
Not
if Neighbours was on the other side.
Well, no, you know. Yeah. I quite like the royal wedding, and if I was Egyptian, I'm sure I would have watched it, but as I'm not.
Okay.
And he didn't play for Chelsea.
Wouldn't have held the interest. Yeah. Been quite a buffet, I would imagine. But as I say, things have changed. You're telling us because Jim White and the gang might be going off to the Azerbaijan embassy to watch the Europa League final. They've had an invite today. I think they're going to take him up on it. I listened to the 1981 replay, Spurs versus City. I was at periscope depth on a nuclear submarine, says Robert. That's pretty good, isn't it?
That's
quite cool. Yeah. On the radio, though, not the TV.
Yeah. Well, they didn't have the internet in 1981.
Yeah. Well, they could have had a big aerial, nice long aerial, four fathoms of aerial. He said a periscope depth. He wasn't that. He possibly could have got a bit of a dodgy pitch in Herb Motti's commentary.
That's true.
I had to watch the 2014 FA Cup final, Hull versus Arsenal at home. This might not seem odd, but I should have been there. My alternator packed up on my car 30 miles into the journey. I'll probably never see Hull in an FA Cup final again in my lifetime. That's quite sad.
That's quite sad.
Keep dreaming, it could happen.
You never know.
And I watched the 1982 World Cup final in Lebanon with rockets going off over my head, says Anthony. That's a game you'll never forget for all sorts of reasons. So keep those coming. TalkSport.com/H&J. Text to 81089 or tweet to TSH&J. Some of the weird and wonderful places like the Azerbaijan embassy where you've taken in a game.
How? I meant to say now, but I said how for some reason, like Jack Hargreaves. How?
Nice contemporary
reference. Thank you very much.
Go on then.
Yes. Following President Putin's 8-0 ice hockey win last week.
Well done.
Samoa's Prime Minister has qualified for his national archery team at the age of 74.
That's impressive. Yeah, he must have a good eye.
Apparently, he was quite decent.
Was he really?
Well, when he was younger, yeah.
Yeah.
He last fired an arrow competitively when the games were held in Samoa 12 years ago, and he won a silver medal.
He's got to be pretty decent.
Yeah. He's confident of winning gold this time, urging his teammates to perfect our techniques.
His teammates to let him win.
that's
what he's urging his teammates
probably the idea.
To do.
Did you see the London Marathon is so massively oversubscribed? It's incredible the number of people that have actually subscribed to. Here we are. I've just got it here. It is.
Is it about 470,000 people?
Something like that, yeah. Wonder why I can't find
it.
Here it is.
One in ten are going to get
457,861 people have applied to run in next year's London Marathon.
Yeah.
Only one in ten will get a place. Why? I don't mean this facetiously, but why don't they run two races? Why don't they have a spring marathon and an autumn marathon? how much money they'd raise.
You're clearly not one of the organisers. It's a huge undertaking, isn't it, really? And I if you start having more than one just to accommodate
might
everybody.
Might dilute it, I suppose.
Yeah. No, I think
it's just a shame people can't take part.
You know, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people would like to go and see the Champions League, so why don't they have one, say, at Wembley? Have it over two legs.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea. Or somewhere like Villa Park, which is equidistant,
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, but that has to be a one-off. You know, I suppose that's too real. I don't know what I'm talking about here, really. I haven't thought this through whatsoever.
Clearly hadn't thought it through, Andy.
No. And what else have we got? Oh, yeah, this week's Sign of the Apocalypse.
Oh, yeah.
Children now, I don't know if this is to do with Line of Duty, but children are now using burner phones to avoid parental supervision.
Really?
So if your kids, parents say to you, or you say to your children, that's it, you're not using your mobile phone, you've got to leave it here, you've got to give it to us, we've got to lock it up for the evening.
Yeah.
They go and get another phone so they can stay. That's how addicted they are to being on the phone.
It's really? So they've got to get a smartphone.
I don't know why I'm talking, I'm addicted to being on the phone as well.
You're on the phone all the time.
I am on the phone.
You
all
never
the time.
Had that parenting issue, did you? You never
no,
had to deal
never,
with
no,
that.
No, we didn't.
When your kids were young, there were no such thing as mobile phones. Yeah, you never had to say,
all the steam engines.
Give me that baked bean tin on a piece of string.
Yeah, yeah, perfect.
You're not going to talk to your mate down the road.
Sad news about Jake Black, the lead singer of Alabama 3 and co-writer, I think, one of the best TV theme tunes of all time, The Sopranos.
Yeah.
He died yesterday, very sad. Yeah. But, yeah, that's a brilliant piece of music. I was listening to it this morning.
And, certainly.
Yeah, excellent. What else we got? Sherpa mountaineer Cami Rita, 49, scaled Mount Everest twice in a week. It's not a bad effort, that, isn't it?
It's decent, yeah.
Yeah, you know, he's got so much charisma. You must have seen Rita's aura.
Yeah.
Come on.
Blimey. I wonder why you brought him up.
Well, he is a Sherpa. And he did do something quite amazing. But Gareth Bale has complained about, honestly, I'm not sure, it's a bit out of context, and I need to see the whole film, and I know it's Michael Calvin's film. But this is the quote. You become an athlete in a team, you don't get to choose your schedule. We're just robots, and with the pressures, it loses that childlike feeling. You know, you don't childlike feelings. What am I saying there? If you're getting 600 grand a week, not many children get 600 grand a week for playing football.
Yeah.
You know, so I think, you know, you can't have it both ways. I'm not, but I'd need to see the whole thing. But
so what's he?
In out of context, it sounds bad that, you know, most people would be happy to be told what to do and where to go for that sort of money.
So he's hankering for simpler times. Football's not the same when it becomes
big
business.
Well, he feels he's lost that sort of feeling he had as a child of the joy of playing football.
Well, you can understand that, can't you?
Well, yeah, but, you know, that's what being a professional is, you know.
When you're sitting on the bench every week and you want to play football and the manager's ignoring you and the crowd are booing you, you're probably not massively enjoying your football, are you, really?
Probably not, but you can always got the option to move.
Yeah.
For, all right, possibly less money, but, you know, if you want to play and you
want to play... Swansea need players.
If you want to play in a joy-like, childish feeling, then, you know, leave.
It's that thing, isn't it, of players always saying, look, I felt I had to go, I just needed a challenge. And so we'll go to Swansea then.
That's true.
We always say to Pep. But you see that we were talking to Danny Cowley at the end of the season and we kind of brought up the idea he is a man in demand and he said how much he was loving his job. But he's been mentioned in relation to West Brom. Feel that, you know, he's going to get his chance, isn't he? Danny Cowley done fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he'd be tremendous. That's an interesting dilemma for West Brom. I mean, do you go for a bloke like Chris Hughton, who's got a fantastic record of getting teams promoted and he's got a wonderful managerial record in general? Or do you go with somebody like Danny Cowley, who looks like a brilliant prospect?
Yeah.
And with respect to Lincoln, probably one day will move on unless he... I got the sense with him that he wants to progress with Lincoln. So, you know,
quite difficult though, isn't it, when you've been offered a club like that?
I suppose they're only one league behind them at the moment. I don't know. You know, it's a dilemma for him, but a nice dilemma to have.
Yeah.
Today's oddly named races are the 4:45 at Yarmouth, the Norwich Office Furniture Handicap.
That's a corker of a race.
A race. And the 8:55 at Kempton tonight, the Tony Sheedy is getting married handicap. Well done, Tony.
What's the going rate? If you know how much it costs to have a race sort of named in your honour, I'm just interested to know.
Well, the prize money for the Tony Sheedy is getting married handicap is $3,752. I don't know if Tony had to stump that money up himself. Norwich Office Furniture Handicap, $5,531.
Okay.
So I'd imagine the organisers...
That's not the way it works. I don't think you've actually got to come up with all the prize money, have you?
I bet you have.
You think you have?
Well, I'd imagine so. Look,
we need someone in racing
circles.
That's true. Somebody who knows what they're talking about is going to have to tell us.
Rupert Bell.
Or Rupert... Bell. That is harsh.
Very harsh.
Yeah, Rupert, we'll find out. Let's get Rupert on. I watched the England versus Brazil World Cup game in the British Embassy in Libya. says James.
Yeah, well.
Was with the GB University squad playing out there, the only place in the country where we could have a sausage and a beer.
That's fair interesting. Enough. Yeah.
I think that's how they bill themselves. Mm. I watched Manchester United versus City in Tunisia when City won 6-1. I left at 4. Walked through the market where the locals told me it was 5. Went to bed, saw it was 6, says Paul. And I was in Vegas for the 2018 Cheltenham Festival. No way I'm watching the racing out there. So I FaceTimed my brother and watched it that way.
Okay, that's a good way to...
From Vegas.
I'm surprised.
Sam, that's one. Thank you, Sam.
It seems odd in Vegas, the betting capital of the States.
Yeah, but they're not interested in, you know, Albert Bartlett, are they?
Not
Vegas.
Really. And also the 1:30 is about, you know, 5. What is it in the morning? It's very early in the morning.
Yeah,
in
Vegas, yeah, yeah. I can understand why. So. It probably wouldn't have been on mainstream TV or on the big screens in the old sort of sports book area.
It was a big event.
But keep those coming then. Talksport.com/H&J. You can text to 81089 or you can tweet to TS. H&J, if you had a name race, a race, I can say this, if you've had a race named in your honour, let us know this afternoon and how much did it set you back. We're interested to know.
Or you get a chance to name a race. Give us what you'd call your own race, or probably your own name, I'd imagine.
Are you going to pay for it then, Andy?
Well, I might if I like the sound of it.
Okay,
well, and it turns out not to be that expensive.
What about a dog race? A dog race won't cost you much.
No, that's true.
Okay, let's see if Andy will stump up.
I want
up.
The 2 from 3 from 4 with 6 back in 5th handicap.
Handicap chase, yeah.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Tim Bickery is over in the UK and he always comes in to see us, so we're delighted to have him in the flesh. Hi, Tim.
Yeah, delighted to be here. And we've just been reminiscing on your bald mate.
Yeah.
Who is a huge Tottenham fan.
He is.
And his defining characteristic, if I remember rightly, about your bald mate, is we're all doomed. It's a kind of North London version of Private Fraser.
Yeah.
What on earth is he thinking before the Champions League?
He's one of two bald mates. He's the shorter of the two bald mates. But the trouble is, what none of us are happy about at the moment is that he's walking around saying, I quite fancy a
Oh, no.
Yeah, he's suddenly become very positive. So with that basically Liverpool.
That'll change on the day.
Sort that over top bus.
The nearer you get to the kickoff, that'll change.
I don't like it. Yeah.
I've got a bad feeling. We'll be playing Marlowe in the FA Cup. We're 3-0 up at half time. Oh, they could get back into this. But now suddenly he gets to the Champions League final. He's relentlessly positive.
Is he going?
He is going.
He's a jinx.
He is. He's going with us.
Noble him. Noble him before he gets there.
Yeah. So, last night Andy and I went and saw Diego Maradona, a new documentary by the guys that gave us Amy and Senna. It's very good. It focuses predominantly on that period when he was at Napoli. And, of course, within that period was the 86 and 90 World Cups. You had a chat with Asif Kapadia, didn't you?
I did, yeah.
When they were working on it.
Yeah, he phoned me up and we had a chat a couple of years ago. It's you just reminded me of this. It's in my mind around the time that Erin Dawes was starting her salon that cost me so much money. So
some of the associations are not as great as they could be.
But yeah, we had a really good chat, and I could see that something interesting was going to come out of it. You can't fail with a documentary about Diego Maradona, can you?
Yeah.
I mean, there's such an obvious comparison between him and Pelé in this sense. You know, that Pelé's career is the classic hero in three acts. The hero emerges, act one. The hero is challenged by injuries and so on in act two. The hero thinks he might not play any more World Cups. And in act three, the hero triumphantly returns to bookend his international career with a 1970 World Cup. Mm. It's such a conventional, it's a film script.
Yeah.
Maradona's career is just all over the place. It's as mazy as one of his dribbles.
Mm.
And the time at Napoli, I think, has all of that.
The film stresses, and I think this is true, you end up having a bit more sympathy than you did if you only view him through the hand of God prism.
How can you not have sympathy for him?
Well, I just want to make the point that they talk about the fact that there are two Maradonas. There's Diego, the original kid, and the person inside and quite a bright sort of fella.
It's shades of Gazza and Paul Gascoigne, isn't it? It's the same thing, you know, this kind of creation, the expectation of you being this person and then what you really are as a human being.
And I my view on this is that the 86 World Cup almost killed him, because that's the moment, and especially the game against England, even more than the final, the game against England is the moment when he stops being a normal person and he starts becoming a god. It's the fact that it was against England, which is, it's much, much bigger than the Falklands. It is that historic relationship where Argentina is effectively a part of the British Empire. It's an informal part of the British Empire. So the British are always, there's a love-hate relationship, and it's always the thing that they're measuring themselves against. And the way that he scored those two goals is against England is living out an Argentine fantasy. Mm. Because your first fantasy, if you're on the wrong end of the colonial power, and the Argentines were, the first defence mechanism is, well, they've got the power, but we're smarter than them, really. So, you know, while they're strutting around, you know, we're running rings around them, and getting away with punching the ball in the back of the net is just that.
Yeah.
And then the second goal is, well, we're better than them anyway. You know, so he lives out an Argentine fantasy on the football field, and it's the time when he becomes a god. I saw an article written about him years ago, and it quoted, unfortunately he's no longer with us, but Roberto Perfumo, who was defender in the 74 World Cup, one of the great intellectuals of Argentine football, and he reminds that the Roman emperors, as they paraded through Rome, they had a slave behind them whispering in their rear, you know, remember you're only a mortal, remember. And Argentine society had tended to do exactly the opposite to Diego Maradona, with disastrous results. But the reason...
Yeah, but this happened in Naples too. It wasn't just the World Cup. No. It, you know, here he goes to a team not won forever, you know, and then they win Scudetto. They win
two titles,
and then they win the second title. They win the second title after the chairman won't let him go. The chairman should have let him go at that point.
Where could he have been more at home? And my line on Argentina is it's like a third world Italy. And Naples is like a third world Italy anyway. Mm. So it's where he was totally at home, again to his long-term detriment, because he was allowed to get away with too much. But just on the thing of having sympathy for him, I don't think people really remember how violent the game was then.
Oh, yeah.
No,
that really comes across.
Yeah. The crackdown on the tackle from behind came going into the 1994 World Cup, by which time it's kind of too late for him, really.
Mm.
But there, every time he took the field, he didn't know if he was going to be leaving in an ambulance. And people were trying to kill him on the football
field.
The Goicoechea thing is just...
Tackle is
These days, it wouldn't be a red card, it'd be a jail sentence.
Yeah, it would.
And it's what he had to put up with every time he played. There's a lovely stat that I think sheds some light on this. I got this from the fella who used to be the physical trainer to the Brazil side. Between the mid-70s and the mid-90s, the amount of ground that footballers were covering on the field doubled from about 5,000 metres to 10,000 metres. So in that time, which is the time of Maradona's career, there's less space on the field. The game is becoming more athletic. Without protection, increased protection for the players, which comes in around 1994.
Yeah.
So Maradona is playing at the time. And in comparison with Pelé's era, and Pelé, people were trying to cripple Pelé every time he played as well. But Maradona did it at a time of more physical intensity on the field. And I think people forget that. And obviously, that is going to make you a little bit cynical. If people are trying to kick you and break your leg when every time you take the field, you're going to become cynical. I think, and even in that, and I love that England side, and especially the 1990 side, but I love the 86 side. But let's remember that off the ball, Terry Fenwick elbowed him in the face.
Yeah, you know? We saw that they last show night you twice.
There's two or three pretty
two
agricultural
really
tackles
bad.
From Terry Fenwick.
But to knock Italy out in 1990 in Naples with that penalty, that did him. That did for him. After that, they hated him. And that was it for him in Italy. And, you know, it was difficult. I mean, the pressure of playing. I mean, yeah. I know Bocca is mad, but I'd say Napoli is worse. Yeah. I mean, the fans.
Because it's
mean,
an just, entire city. Oh, it's not just crazy. One part of the city like no. Bocca, is it? It's not only an entire city, and it's an entire region. You know, you're standing up for the South. And that's the card that Maradona tried to play in that World Cup. You know, yeah. He was trying to say, you know, Naples, that they don't treat us like proper Italians. We are third world Italy. So he tried to play that, but he was messing with some dangerous forces, wasn't
he? People compare him to Messi, don't they? But we both felt that, you know, Messi doesn't have to deal with anything like what he has to deal with, either on the field or off the field.
Yeah.
And in the end, Maradona won the World Cup with the whole country on his back, and Messi didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, although... One more. Let's go around again. We now know that Messi is on for another cycle. One last bid. You know, there's a Copa America this year, a Copa America next year on home soil, and where the story will end, the World Cup in 2022. So there's one last cycle for Messi to win a senior title with Argentina.
Yeah, Asif Kapadia, the director of the film, will be joining us in the studio in a couple of weeks when the film comes out. Really recommend it. It's excellent, isn't it?
Excellent. I mean,
the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
You've been telling us this afternoon some of the weird and wonderful places you've taken in the game on the box, because Jim White, Bob Mills and Simon Jordan could be off to the Azerbaijan embassy. They've had an invite. I don't think Bob knows yet. They've had an invite from the ambassador who was on a little bit earlier on with Jim. And
because they took Perry Groves,
and
Arsenal lost.
That's right. Perry wanders in with his six pack of the way he does when he plays cricket. Yeah. This comes
not
from
that type of six pack.
Oh yeah, Bob in Hammersmith says I watched the 1970 World Cup quarter final versus West Germany in the pavilion at Chelmsford with the whole of the Lancashire cricket team, with the exception of Clive Lloyd, who wasn't particularly happy that their departure was delayed due to football.
Right.
I once watched Manchester United versus Everton, it must have been the cup final, on my phone whilst in A&E wired to an ECG with a suspected heart attack. I'm sure that's from David. I'm not sure.
It wouldn't be great,
the doctor,
then.
That was a good idea. Yeah. If you're a fan of either club. I watched the Liverpool Champions League penalty win against Inter in a taxi rank hut on a portable TV in Crete, says Mick. These are all good ones. And I watched the 2018 Champions League final winner, Madagascan Rainforest, in a hut with three men who didn't speak English. Didn't understand a word they were saying, but I know they were supporting Madrid, says Rich from Sussex. So thanks for all of those. What else have we got? That's an interesting one. Robert says, Derby versus Leeds, the second playoff game, in an Indian restaurant in Valencia on my mobile phone.
Oh, really?
Memories are made of this. I don't know which team you were supporting.
Did you see Leeds
you.
Are not happy with Derby. They want the league to take action against them for some financial fair play transgressions.
It was a kind of transfer of the ownership of the ground they've taken. I saw that Ramazani was kicking off.
It looks like they've been a bit bitter about the whole thing. So.
Yeah, well, possibly. Mm. Do you have anything else while we await Julian? Am I testing
that squash tournament in Spain was odd. Did you see this?
No, what happened?
Well, basically, it was a male and female tournament, a men's championship. They all got standard trophies. This was in Spain, northern Spain.
Yeah.
But the women's tournament were given, actually, I can't even say what they were given, but one was an electric foot file, two body hair removal kits, and something a bit more personal for
really?
Women. Yes.
Something. So if you've got some sort of back trouble,
yeah.
Something that you'd have if you had a bit of a shoulder injury.
That's right. So, you get
that's
the idea.
Appalling.
There.
So the men got a trophy and the women got various electrical.
Who thought
items.
That was a good idea?
Yeah.
Oh, they'll be happy with that. Winner Elizabeth Sado, I think.
Sado.
That's her name.
Okay.
I'm sure she's quite happy.
I'm sure she is. Yeah.
We were surprised, very shocked. We think it's very sexist. You're right,
yeah,
Elizabeth.
I think you're not wrong, Elizabeth. Yeah. No wonder you're saddo. Mark, as we said, Michael Calvin's new documentary State of Play is on BT next week. And he's had a chat with Emma Hayes, the Chelsea coach, within that. And she said some very interesting stuff has been picked up by the press today. Talking about men's and women's football. I guess if a male coach had said this, many women footballers might be up in arms. But the fact that it comes from Emma and her standing in the game, I thought was interesting. This is the quote. Said, if I took a male player and a female player and asked them to run 10 yards more often than not, though that's changing, the male player would get there quicker than a female player. If the same male player and female player were in standing positions and both jump, the range for a male is going to be greater than that of a woman. So you think, where's the relevance? Well, first, it would be in goalkeeping, for example. There is often a criticism about goalkeeping in the women's game, and I would argue that the goal is just a little bit too big. If it was built around our physical differences, then we would be talking about great goalkeepers as opposed to exposing them. Rather than mirror everything we take from the men's game, we have to adapt to our own sport and our own physical expectations as well as the tactical implications. So basically saying maybe tailor possibly the size of the pitches, the size of the goals, just slightly, just incrementally for the women's game to make it a sort of standalone game within its own right from that perspective, which I thought was pretty bold.
Well, it's
thing
a
to
bold
say.
Thing to say. In cricket, women's cricket, the field has smaller dimensions. The boundaries must be between 55 and 70 as opposed to 65 to 90. And it makes it for a better game because you see women hitting sixes, which they wouldn't be able to do if they played on that. You know, it's just a matter of power, really.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And that's true because you're right. Often people, you do, when people talk about women's football, they say, you know, I mean, this is changing as well. But there was a period they say, yeah, the outfield, but it's the goalkeeping situation that's difficult. So interesting, someone who's standing in the game like Emma Hayes to say, goals are maybe a bit big. The problem you've got then is that so many of the facilities being used in women's football, generally at the lower level, obviously they can just jump in and use existing men's facilities.
That's true.
If you're making pitches smaller and you're making goals smaller...
Same in schools, you'd have to have different
and
size
the cost
pitches.
Implication could be the difference between playing and not. But, I mean, at the top level, and I'm not sure how women players would feel about that. There might be a lot of players that play at Chelsea
probably,
that don't agree
with
that.
Yeah, would be happy about it, yeah.
But I thought it was very interesting. So, anyway, a number of very interesting things. You've seen some other bits of Mike's documentary, haven't you? It looks really, really good.
Good.
So...
Yes, there's a jousting weekend in Scotland this weekend, and you know where basically you can get on horseback and it's you know have a go at it.
So I came to this like you're going up to Scotland. To
no,
get
I'm
on
not
horseback.
Going. There's a jousting weekend.
A jousting weekend.
Jousting weekend. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, at Scotland's oldest inhabited house.
Yeah,
and it says. That's what he says here.
I think it's good. I like it. I just like the idea of you jousting.
I
can just see you. The suit of armour is just about two sizes too big. It looked fantastic.
First of all, I've never been on a horse, so that obviously would be quite limiting for joust.
Look, if you're going to get on a horse, make the first time when someone's running at you with a massive stick at speed.
Yeah, metal.
That's what I said. Yeah.
It says here, children can join an army to fight them. With soft swords only. I was thinking, yeah, okay, well, really?
Yeah, they're not going in tooled up,
are
they?
Would be ideal, would it? No, yeah. No, definitely not.
So can I get you, if I can get you sorted out, Andy, will you give jousting a try?
No.
For the sake of talk sport and record it? Would you do that for us?
No.
Okay, fair enough. No sense of adventure,
no,
mate.
What can you do?
You may have gathered by now, as we're talking about jousting in Scotland, that Julien Laurent is not going to be joining us. Because we had a few issues with his line. But safe to say, I'm sure Sam and Danny will be chatting about David De Gea because reports today suggest that he's not going to extend his contract and they may have to cash in now rather than let it run down. So, and PSG are very much in the frame.
And do you remember yesterday we spoke to Mike Hancock, age 70, oldest man on oldest pitch?
Yeah, played on one of the oldest pitches in the country,
Good man. But basically, he's in the youth team compared to Les Brooks.
Yeah.
Footy mad Les Brooks, 80, has just just retired from his weekly five-a-side game in Newcastle in Staffordshire.
I can't imagine playing 80. That is incredible.
Well, you might be.
We'll leave it there then.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4pm on TalkSport.
There we are. That's this afternoon's show. We do recommend that Maradona film. It's out next month and the director will be popping in to see us as well. But we're back tomorrow. Lewis Capaldi joins us, singing superstar.
Yes, yeah, definitely.
Until then, thanks for downloading us.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.